these days to have to keep the line. I don't know what your dragon is, but our dragon we're talking here, it's only one thing. Remember? The serpent. Because all those scientific tricks is the food for this dragon. Remember that these sorcerers, they will turn the apple, Egal, to a serpent, which is the Satan, the knowledge, and this dragon will eat them all. These two sorcerers are here to trick, to steal it. It will turn to dragon. Yes.
Both fled, and pale of countenance began to fall on their faces from affright, tumbling panic-stricken down every slope. Then to them it became certain that he was from heaven, since they were seeing the limit of magicians. Afterwards, diarrhea and fever appeared in them, and their case reached the last gasp and the death agony.
It's not only one trick in their fear. They really feared, and yes, they went in a situation to make filthy their pants and have a diarrhea and all that, and they were close to death because they were bringing that serpents out, actually tricking this. Yeah.
Then at once they sent a man to Moses to excuse that which they had done, saying, "We have put to the test, and how should testing thee occur to us unless there be envy?"
Oh, it's not envy, sorry, it's jealousy, it's hatan. And it makes a lot of difference here.
"We are sinners against the king. Do thou crave pardon for us, O thou that art the elect of the court of God?" He pardoned, and at once they became well. They were striking their heads upon the earth in the presence of Moses.
What happened here? Are you waiting for a big lecture and blah blah? No. These two fellows, they ran away. They sent someone to Moses that, "We're sorry we did this." And Moses forgave them. As simple as that. He didn't argue. He said, "Oh, you bad fellow, I have to punish you." None of this. Everything is passing simple because this is not what he wants to talk about. That was the subject he was talking about, to give you the hint that this is it, this is how it works, and this will happen. Here, okay, Moses will forgive them very quickly, as if they were there. They send a man to Moses to say sorry, and Moses told them as if they were there, said, "Okay, it's okay, yes."
Moses said, "I pardon you, O nobles. Your bodies and souls have become unlawful to hell. Verily, I did not see you. O two friends, make yourselves strangers to exculpation. Come, even as you are."
He's not a stranger, he's Ajami. Means stupid. Not clear enough. He said, "I didn't see you. And you should pretend that you don't understand this. Let's forget about all this. Because this was just a test for you, and you passed it. This has nothing to do with Pharaoh and other people. So I forgive you, but keep quiet and pretend that this didn't happen. You don't know about this." Why? Yeah.
"Come even as you are. Alien in appearance, familiar to combat for the king." Then they kissed the earth and departed. They were waiting in expectation of the time and opportunity.
Okay, but there was something over there that you passed just like this. What is alien in appearance, familiar? you didn't notice the paradox over there. Because, yes, there is this mix, a strange mixture here. We are familiar, but we look as strangers. In a real conversation, he didn't need to talk about that familiarity. This is okay. Come as a stranger. But he would not say that. Come as a stranger familiar. Because the quality is there. You pretend you're a stranger, but you're not. So you should understand that. Now you're a member of a group, but you have a duty to make because there is a special time for that. Yes.
How the magicians from the cities assembled before Pharaoh and received robes of honor and laid their hands upon their breasts to subdue his enemy and saying, write this down against us. Those magicians came unto Pharaoh and he gave them robes of honor exceedingly precious. He made promises to them and also gave them in advance slaves and horses and money and goods and provisions.
What else they need? You see, he mentions everything here in one verse. Okay, in advance he gave them everything. Because that's the way you bribe the sorcerers. Because he needs the help, right? Yeah.
After that he was saying, hark, O ye that are foremost, if ye prove superior in the trial, I will scatter over you so many gifts that the veil of bounty and munificence will be rent. Then they said to him, through thy fortune, O king, we shall prevail, and his cause shall be ruined. We are heroes and champions in this art. No one in the world can resist us. The mention of Moses has become a chain. To the thought.
Wait. What was that all about? Very simple stuff, right? The sorcerers will come to Pharaoh and say, we are the best, we'll do it. And he will give them the best and say, oh, I will give you more and more and more, right? And all of that is this part. Now you're going to listen to this part, which is a different stuff. Up to here you understood what the situation is. The guy, they went to the grave of the father, they realized what it is, they came and saw the miracle, they obeyed, now is the day, right? Let's talk about the mention of Moses. Yes.
The mention of Moses has become a chain to the thoughts of my readers, for they think that these stories, which happened long ago,
Isn't it that way? You say, now I'm talking about Moses, and all of you say, ah, yes, this thing that happened a couple of thousand years ago in Egypt. This is what you think, right? Yeah.
The mention of Moses serves for a mask, but the light of Moses is thy actual concern, O good man. Moses and Pharaoh are in thy being. Thou must seek these two adversaries in thyself. The generation of Moses is till the resurrection. The light is not different. The lamp has become different. This earthenware lamp and this wick are different, but its light is not different. It is from yonder. If thou keep looking at the glass, thou wilt be lost, because from the glass arise the numbers of dualism. But if thou keep thy gaze upon the light, thou wilt be delivered from dualism and the numbers of the finite body. From the place of view, O kernel of existence, there arises the difference between the true believer and the Zoroastrian and the Jew.
Did you hear all of that? again, he stopped in the very critical moment of the show. Okay, all was the preparation, you're waiting for that magical stuff to happen. He stopped it all. So, again, I have to repeat it here. When I'm talking about Moses, you think about that fellow 1,000 years ago. No, the story of Moses is actually a mask. I'm talking about you. All this story is because you have to understand what you are. Moses is in you, Pharaoh is in you. How many times I should repeat this? These two are in you, and I'm telling all this story for what? I'm trying to give you the light, and you nag about the type of the lamp. You think that I'm telling you that this fellow Moses is the good fellow. I'm talking about Hab, which is the precious stuff. And I told you, the only thing you should change in yourself is your point of view, the way you look at it. From different point of views, look at them. The believers, the Zoroastrian, the Jews, they are fighting each other. What a stupid group. Because the message is the same. It says this is like a lamp. Okay, when I'm talking about the light, nowadays we're looking at electrical stuff here. I said, okay, is it different from the oil lamp? When you're talking about the light, it's the light. If you're talking about the lamp, of course, you have a better one, and a fellow has a superior one. These are the lamps. Light, the message, hab, the truth. The truth is irrelevant that who is talking about it or who is writing what about it. The truth is the truth. You could find it in different literatures. Of course, an Indian should love Indian literature. But that doesn't mean that Indian literature has something that the others don't. The form is different. The essence is the same. And this happens in a very critical moment of this story, and Rumi brought it in to give you one of his famous stories. One of the gates to cybernetics for me was this story. The famous elephant in the darkness, remember? I remember that Ross Ashley wrote one stuff in the papers, and by bizarre chance in Iran, I was looking at it because I was in the American library. They have a library over there, you could find English books. And as a student, I was there looking for this. I found this story. So I said, who is this Ross Ashby who knows about this elephant? That provoked my interest. And I learned cybernetics. This is the story of elephant. The story of the elephant in the darkness that everybody knows a little bit about, some part of it. And Rumi will say, if they had a lamp, if they had a candle in hand, they could see the elephant. But when you don't see it, you will make stories. You bring it, please do not forget. This is the story of Rumi. Where did he put it in his book? Right after the verse that said, from the different point of views, you are fighting in the name of religion. Because none of you has a candle in hand. If you have a candle in hand, then you don't need this kind of interpretation, that institutionalized idea, and blah, blah, blah.